This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
You could feel the weight in the courtroom the moment the autopsy photos hit the screen. Jurors leaned in. A woman in the gallery quietly began to cry. It was a moment. And there in the middle of it all stood Dr. Irini Scrotti Bello. The one person in the courtroom who didn't have to guess how John O'Keefe died. She'd seen the inside of his skull. She'd held his brain in her hands. She wasn't here to tell stories. She was here to tell facts. That's about what we're going to get into today and the recap of the trial of Karen Reed. Day 16. Only 16. Gosh. It's a lot to get through today. A lot of big moments that went down today in the trial of Karen Reed. Let me know in the comments what your thoughts are on how all of this is going, where things are standing. Any points made today? Any minds shift from one way to the other? Let me know in those comments. And do press subscribe wherever you are listening to this. If it's on the podcast platforms, hit subscribe there. YouTube, hit there. And if you're watching us on X, Twitter, hit that as well. Follow us. What the doctor told the jury today was this: John O'Keefe died from blunt force trauma to the head. That much, she said, was clear. The hypothermia, yes, that was a factor, a contributing one, but it wasn't the thing that killed him. The trauma came first. It was the main event. Let's not forget, this isn't the first time this medical examiner has taken the stand, but this time she brought with her not just conclusions, but context. She took the jury step by step through every visible injury, every slice of the autopsy, the broken bones, the bleeding beneath the skull, the pattern of swelling in the brain. She described the raccoon eyes. That's the term, really. Bilateral bruising around the eyes that shows up when the base of the skull fractures. It's not cosmetic, it's neurological. You get those when the brain shifts violently enough to break the foundation. She pointed to the back of O'Keefe's head, a large, jagged laceration. Beneath that, radiating like cracks on a windshield, were multiple fractures. And below those, subdural hemorrhaging That's bleeding between the brain and the outer membrane. It's the kind of thing you see when the head takes a serious blow, not from a stumble, not from slumping in the snow, not even necessarily from a punch, but true jarring impact. Still, all of this, Dr. Scrotti Bello held her line. She could not and would not declare a manner of death, homicide, accident, or undetermined. She left that final checkbox blank. Not because she didn't have a theory, but because it's not her job to supply one without certainty. And there wasn't enough certainty in this case, she said, to name how John O'Keefe died, just what killed him. And that what's important, what made that moment hit harder, pardon the phrasing, was the redirect. That's when the prosecution circled back and asked her about the injuries on O'Keefe's knee. Now, rewind just a second. If someone were hit by a vehicle, you might expect bruising or damage to the lower extremities, legs, knees, maybe even fractures. In this case, there weren't fractures, but there was bruising. And when asked plainly if that kind of knee bruise could be consistent with a vehicle impact, or say a sideswipe or a glancing blow, Dr. Scrotti Bello said yes, it could be. That single admission may seem small, but in this trial, it's gold. It's an expert under oath telling the jury that the physical injury on the body can be explained by the prosecution's core theory, that Reed reversed her SUV into O'Keefe, knocking him down in the snow where he ultimately died. The defense tried to push back, of course. They poked at the corners of the report, looking for holes. Attorney Bob Alessi zeroed in on other injuries, abrasions on the arm, discoloration around the hands, and the ever-mysterious stomach bleeding. Could these injuries have come from something else? Could they be consistent with dog bites or vigorous CPR, or maybe, they implied, even a fight? Dr. Scrotti Bello didn't play ball. She didn't speculate. When asked whether those arm abrasions matched a dog bite, she simply said, "I can't say." When questioned about the stomach hemorrhaging, she did allow that it could be the result of intense CPR or alcohol or hypothermia, but again, she didn't hang her hat on any simple explanation. She stuck to what the evidence showed. The trauma to the head was significant and sufficient to cause death. The defense wanted a smoking gun for an alternate theory. What they got was a forensic pathologist who refused to turn science into fiction. She wasn't there to float maybes. She was there to measure the damage. And then came the photos. Autopsy photos are never easy. These were no exception. The jurors were warned before they went up on the screen, but warnings only do so much. One woman in the gallery broke down into quiet sobs. Jurors didn't look away. They studied each photo as Dr. Scrotti Bello narrated. Here's a fracture line. Here's a hemorrhage. Here's the bruising pattern. Here's the external evidence of trauma. And at that moment, it wasn't about Karen Reed. Although she was staring very hard at those pictures, some may consider them hard to look at. Not for Karen. But this wasn't about Karen Reed or the cops or conspiracies. It was about the body of a man whose head had been split open, whose brain had bled inside his skull, and whose final moments likely happened in the cold, unconscious, and alone. That scene will stick. Through it all, Scrotti Bello never strayed into emotional. She didn't editorialize. She didn't speak like someone trying to sway a verdict. She spoke like someone who'd done hundreds of autopsies and knows the difference between bad science and a bad story. And make no mistake, the prosecution used that to their advantage. They didn't need her to say Karen Reed killed John O'Keefe. They needed her to say that the injuries match the prosecution's timeline. That a blow to the head, perhaps from being knocked down by a reversing SUV, is consistent with the damage. That the bruising on the knee didn't rule out their theory. That the stomach and arm injuries didn't negate it. And that's what they got. Jurors saw the photos. They heard the science. Follow the science, remember? And what they got in clear terms was this. There's no physical evidence that contradicts the idea that John O'Keefe was hit by a car. And at least some of that evidence might even support it. So when the defense spent their time raising questions, was it a fall, a fight, a setup? The prosecution quietly handed the jury a scalpel, an x-ray, and a bruise, and said, "You decide." Now, the medical examiner's job is done. She came in, opened up the body, laid out the facts, and left. But what she left behind wasn't just a clinical report. It was a sobering reminder that there is a difference between a legal theory and a dead man's skull. And when those two things start to line up, jurors, they tend to listen. Because bones don't lie. Neither does other evidence. We're about to head into an area of evidence that doesn't bleed or bruise, but might just remember everything. By mid-morning, the autopsy photos were put away. By the weight of them, they were still hanging in the room. Now, the prosecution turned the jury's attention to something colder, quieter, and arguably more precise than witness testimony, the machine. The day moved into medical phase of the case, and Maureen Harned, a forensic scientist with the Massachusetts State Police, was back on the stand. She'd already given testimony about physical damage to Karen Reed's SUV earlier in the week, but May 15th was about tightening the bolts, showing the jury not just what was broken, but what could be connected, and where the body had spoken in blood and bruises. The vehicle now had its say in scratches, fragments, and silence. Harned explained her introspection of the Lexus, the broken taillight at the passenger side, the presence of chipped red plastic, scratches and scuffs around the rear bumper. A single strand of what appeared to be human hair was found caught in the textured surface. These weren't dramatic discoveries. There was no blood smears, no fingerprints. But as any mechanic will tell you, it's not always the big cracks that tell you what failed. It's the tiny shifts, kind that only matter when you know where to look. The defense naturally challenged this. Attorney Bob Alessi drilled into the way the evidence was handled after the fact, raising more questions about how John O'Keefe's clothing was collected, his shirt and sweatshirt. Harned acknowledged it had been placed together in the same evidence bag. That meant when she scraped debris from them, there was no way to determine which particles came from which article of clothing. It was all pooled, collected, and analyzed as one batch. That might not seem like a major issue, but in a case built on fragments, glass shards, fibers, flecks of paint, that all matters. Unless he zeroed in on the lack of clarity. Harned admitted she didn't know where the clothing had been placed before she received it. She couldn't say it had touched the floor of an ambulance or a hospital or whether the bag had been opened before it arrived at the lab. The chain of custody, she explained, was documented from the moment detectives handed the bag to her team, not before. The defense also brought up inconsistencies in photographs. In one image, the strand of hair on the rear bumper appeared in a different position than it did in another. Alessi suggested that this could indicate contamination, or at the very least, that the scene had been disrupted. Harned didn't dispute that the hair's position had shifted, but she couldn't explain why. She didn't move it herself, she said. She just documented what she saw. While it might raise questions, it didn't really provide any answers. Then came the surveillance video. The prosecution queued up footage of Reed's SUV inside that police garage shortly after the incident. The vehicle was covered in snow. Its exterior glistened under the fluorescent lights of the Sallyport, and the hours passed, and the snow began to melt, sliding off the vehicle in slow, steady clumps. This wasn't dramatic footage. There was no action, no movement, no suspects caught in the act, but the prosecution had a point. If any loose debris had been perched on that bumper, hair, glass, trace evidence, it would have been washed away during that melt. The fact that it remained, they agreed, or argued rather, meant it was there from the start, that it hadn't been added later. This was about rebuffing the defense's broader suggestion that evidence could have been planted. That hair, that glass, those scratches, they weren't staged, they were stable. They were there before the snow began to melt, and they were still thereafter. It was a subtle but effective way of saying, don't look for the boogeyman in the lab coat. But the biggest shift in the day's energy did not come from photos or paint chips. It came from a spreadsheet. Later in the afternoon, the prosecution revealed that it had received a revised report from one of its expert analysts, Shannon Burgess, a digital forensic specialist with Aperture LLC. Burgess had been tasked with examining onboard data from Karen Reid's Lexus, specifically the vehicle's event recorder, its brain, tracking things like acceleration, braking, and mechanical activity. According to a new report, a vehicle event occurred at approximately 12:32 a.m. on the night of the incident. Not just any event, a significant one, something that matched the data signature of a sudden reverse or impact. And critically, this time was now aligned, down to the minute, with the prosecution's theory of when John O'Keefe was struck. Allegedly. This wasn't new data, they said. It was the same event, just with a revised timestamp. The difference, it now matched the estimated window of death. Unless he lost it. He called it trial by ambush. He said this timeline shift blew up the entire defense theory midstream. He argued that had this been disclosed earlier, the defense would have built its case differently. He wanted the data thrown out, or at the very least, the expert barred from testifying. This wasn't a small correction, he argued. This was a gut punch after the fight had already started. Prosecution pushed back calmly. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan explained that the change came from clock calibration. Reid's Lexus system and O'Keefe's phone weren't synced perfectly, and this report adjusted for that drift. No data had been altered. No new evidence was added. It was, as Brennan put it, a simple realignment. Basically a way to look at the data correctly. One that made the story cleaner. But again, the defense is not about data, because data doesn't work for them. Judge Beverly Cannone didn't rule right away. She listened. She took it under advisement. And then she moved on. The trial would continue on schedule. No mistrial, no exclusion, not at least yet. But in the courtroom, the shift was palpable. For the first time, the prosecution had a mechanical timestamp that lined up almost perfectly with the aligned impact. It wasn't a confession. It wasn't a witness. It was a jolt recorded deep in the car's electronic memory. Kind of like a ghost that doesn't forget. And if jurors believe that ghost lines up with the rest of the story, Karen Reid's defense strategy might need more than just doubt to survive what comes next. What do you think? Tell me in the comments. Love to hear it. If you're listening on our podcast platforms, be sure to check us out on YouTube and comment there. Also on social media, including Twitter, X, everything else as well. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Tony B Pod. You can join in our conversation there as well. Love to hear what you think. My name is Tony Bruschi, and we will talk again very soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.